We're talking about the theme of joy this month, and so some of the lessons, many of the lessons, are going to be revolving around that. One of the things that's interesting that we find in the scriptures is that despite the great persecutions that Christians faced in the first century, they were able to have joy. In 1 Peter, that we had read earlier, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and it was read from 3 through down through 9. But notice the expressions of joy here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. In what? In that salvation that has been offered to us. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. A great joy, an inexpressible joy, was known to these Christians because they had salvation from God. They knew that they were being saved. And that joy overrode all the hardships of life, the persecutions that they faced, the difficulties they had. It didn't matter because they were heading to heaven. Now, that attitude seems strange to a lot of people when you talk to them about being a Christian. How can people be happy while being concerned with keeping a bunch of commands? If you had to watch every little thing that you do so that you don't lose your salvation, well, how can that be fun? You see, to many people, keeping commandments would be the killjoy out of life. And yet, look at some of the things that the Bible teaches us. In Psalms 128, Psalms 128, and in verse 1, how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you shall be happy, and it will be well with you. When Christians follow God's ways, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to those who fear God, who walk in his ways. And in Psalms 112 in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Instead of looking at commandments as burdens, we should have an attitude that they're a delight. They're a joy to have. In fact, if you go back to Philippians chapter 2, we see what Paul does with the Philippians in discussing this idea of joy. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he says, so then, my beloved brethren, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They had always obeyed. But Paul commands them to work out their fear, or their salvation. Put effort into it. And if that's not enough, he says to do that with fear and trembling. But notice in verse 13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Everything was to be done without complaint. In other words, it's not like when you were a kid, or some of you still are kids, and somebody tells you to take out the trash. Oh, do I have to? That's not the attitude we're supposed to have towards God's commands. Not of a, I got to do this yet again. It is a joy to keep God's commands. Now, obviously, these Christians were expected to continually work at keeping all of God's command. And like I said, some people say, well, where's the fun in that? But if we continue on in verse 15, it says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge, rejoice in the same way. Share your joy with me. Now, did you notice what he said at the end there? In the same way. Same way as who? Well, as what Paul's doing. He said, I'm willing to give my life. I'm being poured out. We talked about that in class today. A drink offering is poured out. You can't take it back. Is given over completely to God. Even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of our Lord, I rejoice. And in the same way, he's saying we should rejoice. In fact, later in chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me. It is a safeguard for you. We need reminding. Rejoice. And in chapter 4, look at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You can keep the commandments with fear and trembling and always rejoice in the Lord at the same time. In fact, I would go so far to say this is the only way to have true joy. Because God's commandments aren't a burden. They're making life easier for us. They're simplifying the choices before us. They're telling us which ways are the better ways to go. Yes, there's things that I don't get to do. But those things that I don't get to do are things that would cause me harm. It caused my life to become a misery. I can rejoice in the fact that God wants me saved. I want you to notice that the same thing is taught in the Old Testament. Take a look at Deuteronomy 28. In the Old Law, in Deuteronomy 28, and most people understand and will admit, the Old Law is full of commandments. Lots of regulations, down to very fine details. But notice in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 45, so all these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever. That doesn't sound very joyful, does it? But he's saying, if you don't follow them, life is going to become miserable. And verse 47, he says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in lack of things, and he'll put you an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Because you would not have fun serving God. Because you did not find joy in doing the commandments. You're going to end up making your life miserable. You're going to end up being punished. And notice the parallel phrases. Because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart. Keeping the commandments is not supposed to be a misery, a burden, a trouble. It's supposed to be fun. It makes life pleasant. In fact, he illustrates a point in Malachi chapter 2. All the way at the other end of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, this is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offer or accepts it with favor from your hand. And yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But no one has done so who has the remnant of the Spirit. And what does that one do while he is seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. God is charging the Israelites of worshiping him with tears instead of joy. The very thing Moses said back in Deuteronomy. And why is it that they're unhappy? Well, he doesn't favor them any longer. They're not doing what he told them to do. In particular, he gives an illustration. They're violating their marriage covenants. And the implication is if they had honored their covenants, well, they would have had joy at home. And they would have had joy in worshiping the God who told them the right way to live. They're making their life miserable. God doesn't like it. And so they are expressing misery instead of joy at his worship. See, having joy and keeping commandments are not the opposites. They go hand in hand together. Going back to Deuteronomy, in giving Israel rules for worship, I want you to notice this again. In Deuteronomy 12, and starting at verse 5, but you seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name, there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. And there you shall bring your burnt offering and your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and your flock. There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not yet as come to the resting place and inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. When the Israelites were supposed to gather together, when they were supposed to do the things that God told them to do, they were to do that with joy. They were to do that with happiness. Because God blessed them with so many things. And he told them, he said, you haven't gotten all the blessings yet. You haven't reached the goal yet. And I want you to think about it. We haven't reached the goal yet either. We haven't gotten to our rest, heaven. Are we doing like they did, doing what's right in our own eyes, instead of saying, this is what God says? Do we rejoice in the tasks that God has given us, even the difficult ones, because they're leading us to a joy that can't be expressed? Are we having fun? Are we enjoying worshiping God? Or is it looking like a chore? Another psalm, Psalm 122. Psalm 122, and in verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Is that how we look at it? You know, basically what it does is it requires a change in attitude towards God's requirements. We have to realize that God's commands are what's right. And they tell us what is good for us. And we really have to have appreciation for what God has given us. The blessings that we have in our lives, the homes, the food that we have, the jobs we have, those are all blessings from God. And they come about because we do what God says. So I want you to think about this day. Do we experience the joy of keeping God's commandments? It's a very short lesson. Actually took a short talk I wrote years ago, and I said, I'm going to expand it, and I expanded it, and it's still short. But it's I think it makes the point, and I hope you understand it, that it is fun, it is joyful to do as God, live life as God has directed us. It makes life easier. So I hope you'll think about those things. If anyone here wishes to become a child of God, there is no better time than right now to do so. And for those of you who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brother and me have, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.